Today's shiur, Dr. Sanhedrin Daf Pei Gimel, we will begin on Daf Pei Beis on the Beis, two lines from the bottom, Eisvei. At the end of the shiur yesterday, we had learned the opinion of Rav Sheshes that a kohen who does the avodah when he's tamei, according to Rav Sheshes, is not chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. Asked the Gemara, Eisvei, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hayoytzik. Hayoytzik is somebody who pours the oil into the Karvin Mincha. Haboilo is the person who mixes all the various ingredients of the Karvin Mincha. Hapaites, sometimes the way the Karvin Mincha is prepared, it needs to be crumbled. Hamoilech, somebody who salts the carbon. Hamenef is the person who waves the carbon. Again, certain times carbon mincha is waved. Hamagish, certain times the carbon mincha has to be brought to a certain spot next to the mizbeach. And as the Tosfos in Masechet Zvachim points out, actually melicha is done after hanofa and hagosha, and therefore Tosfos points out, why is Malicha mentioned first? And Tosfos says, because the order of this Mishnah is not necessarily precise. I saw other Mepharshim explain that the reason Malicha is mentioned first is because, since we know the Torah says, Akol Karboncha Takrav Melech, every carbon has to have salt. So this carbon Mincha has to have salt. So since salting is always there, that's why salting is mentioned first. Hamasader is a shulchan. If somebody sets up the shulchan, we know the shulchan is set up on a weekly basis. Hametiv as a neiris, somebody prepares the menorah. And as we're going to learn, what this Mishnah is discussing, that if these various acts were done outside of the Beis Hamikdash, we're going to learn in a moment, there is no issue of doing avodah b'chutz, and therefore explains the Briska Rav, the way we need to understand that Mishnah is referring to a situation where somebody took the entire shulchan outside of the Azara, or somebody took the entire menorah outside of the Azara. For otherwise it would be obvious that it's not considered an avodah b'chutz. It must be that the menorah was removed from, taken out of the Azara, and the shulchan was taken out of the Azara, and yet the Mishnah is going to teach us in a moment that that's not considered avodah b'chutz. Hakoymitz, we know the karban mincha kamitza is done from it. That's the part that's actually burnt on the mizbeach. Mekabel damim, we know the kabonis. Sometimes it's kabolos dam. If any of these acts were done b'chutz, outside of the Azara, even though the Torah is very strict about shchutei chutz, about doing avoidus b'chutz, none of these avoidus are the avoidus for which the Torah is strict about doing b'chutz. Potter. Which are the avoidus, explains the Gemara in Masechet Zvachim, where there's an issur d'oraisa of chutz. It has to be an avoidus which is a concluding avoidus. It's the concluding of that category of an avoidus, which would mean, as the Gemara there explains, the Shechita, the Haktara, and the Zrikas Adam. Continues the Mishnah, teaching us, Ve'en Chayovim Leib, if any of these avoidus were done by a Zor, as we're going to spend time learning, a Zor may not do an avoidah. If any of these avoidus that we just learned were done by a Zor, by Yisrael, the Isser of a Yisrael doing an avoidah will not apply. V'loy mishum tuma, the iser of doing of a kohen doing the avoda when he's tamei will not apply. V'loy mishum chus begadim, as we will learn, that a kohen may only do avoda when he's wearing the bigdei kahuna, as the Gemara is going to teach us. Bizman shukunaschem aleihem, when they're wearing the bigdei kahuna, are they considered kohanim? Otherwise, not. In any of these avoidus that we just listed, these isurim, because, as I explained a moment ago, the cause these avoidas are not considered concluding avoidas, there is no issa deraisa, at least an issa that comes with an oinish. Furthermore, before an avoida has to be done, the kahanim had to do richat yadayim reglaim, they had to wash their hands and feet. Loi yishum richat yadayim reglaim. Why? As I keep on repeating, because it's one of these avoidas that have just been listed. Homekater, but if it was the avoid of Aktoro, where it is a concluding avoida, did a halach would be chayif. Now, what is chayif? What does it mean that there would be chayif? Here it says these avoidas is potter, there it would be a chayif. What would the chayif be? The chayif would be misa. Misa's bezdin. Which is a tremendous question. Because we just quoted the opinion of Rav Sheshis that we learned at the end of the previous year that says doing avoida, doing the haktara betuma, doesn't carry with it the oinish of Mises Bezdin, it only carries with it the oinish of Malkus. So that's not what the Braisa means. When the Braisa says that it's these avoid, the Mishnah says, when it's these avoidas that there is no chiv, doesn't mean a chiv misa. Versus by Torah, there is a chiv, and tumah was mentioned, the top line of our Amid. Rather, what it means is it's a tumah. It means an iser malchus. My lab misa says the Gemara. Lo, that's not what we meant. What we meant is ashar alav. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that where these isurim apply, it's only an iser malchus? One of the isurim, the top, the first iser mentioned on this Amid was Zoros. And by Zoris, we know there's a Chiv Misa. Ella, Zor Nami Leshara? Will we suggest that if a Zor does the Avoider, there's only a Chiv Malkus? For Ksiv, there's an explicit Pasuk in the Torah, for Zor Karavumis. So if the Mishnah is speaking about Zoris, and in Zoris there's no question that if Chas V'Sholem, a Yisrael, does the Avoider, there's a Chiv Misa's Bezdin, it's obvious, assumes the Gemara, that the next clause of the Mishnah Tumah carries with it the same Einish of Mrs. Bezdin. So again, we have a question of Rav Sheshis. The Rav Sheshis says, a Kayin doing Avoidah B'Tumah, the specific Avoidah, is only a Chiv Malkus. Here it seems to be clear that's a Chiv Mrs. Bezdin. Answers the Gemara, it's not a question. Hakad Isa, Hakad Isa. Indeed, a Yisrael doing the Avoidah carries with it the punishment of Mises Bezdin. But Tumah doesn't carry with it. They don't necessarily have to have the exact same Oynish. Says the Gemara, by us learning this Mishnah, and the Mishnah listing all these Avoidas, and saying that these Avoidas, as I explained, because they are not concluding Avoidas, there's no Isser, does that mean, asked the Gemara, Mechlal the Yoitzik Beboilik Nami Lav? Lav Nami Loi? That it is no Isra at all. If it's not in concluding Avoida, it may be done Chutz Lazara, it may be done by Yisrael, it may be done with Tumah. Ask the Gemara of Atayi, there's an explicit price that says, as Horo Yoitzu Geboilu Minai, how do we know that Yoitzu Geboilu may not be done B'chutz and by Azor and B'Tumah? Tamaloyma Kedosh Miyuvalo Yichalu. So how do we understand that the Mishnah says that it's Potter that there's no Lav for any of these Avoidas? Don't we have a pasuk of Kedosh Miyuvalei Chalu that does seem to indicate that there's a lav even by these avoiders that the Mishnah seems to say it's potter? Answers the Gemara, that pasuk, that the Issa is only Issa Drabonin. I, the pasuk of Kedosh Miyuvalei Chalu, that's cross macht ba'alma. Ask the Gemara again on Rav Sheshis. As I said, Rav Sheshis taught us that a Kayin doing avoider b'tumah is only an Issa lav. Ask the Gemara, and we're going to spend a lot of time on this Mishnah. It says, "Eilu hein sheve misa, the following averus carry with them the punishment of misa b'dei shemayim." And it says clearly, "Tamei sheshimesh." That if a kohen did an avoida when he's tamei, he's chayiv misa bezdin. What's Rav Sheshis going to do with this explicit Mishnah? Says the Gemara, indeed, to Yufta, Rav Sheshis has been refuted, and indeed, the oinish. If the kahanim don't, if the pirche kahuna don't get to the kayin first, as our Mishnah taught us, is that a kayin sheshimish betuma is chay mises bestin. So since the Gemara mentioned this Mishnah, the Gemara is going to quote this entire Mishnah and spend a lot of time analyzing literally word by word of the Mishnah. Ve'elu shevemisa, The following averis carry with them the punishment of Mises Beis Din. So before we start speaking about the Mishnah, we need to try to understand what is the difference between the punishment of Mises Beis Din and the punishment of Kares. They're not, both are not given by Beis Din. So what's the difference? So the Rishonim suggest a number of nafkaminas. One explanation is that Kares doesn't only affect the person who passes away, but also affects his children. Whereas Mises Beis Din, Mises Beis Shemayim is only on the person who did the Aveira. However, there are Rishonim that say that Kares, typical Kares, doesn't carry with it the punishment that the children also pass away, only when the Torah uses the words Ariri, the word Ariri. So those Rishonim explain that the difference between Mises Beis Din, Mises Beis Shemayim and Kares is that Kares is at the age of 50 and Mises Beis Shemayim is at the age of 60. Others explain, actually most Rishonim usually take the opinion that Kares is more severe than Mises Beis Shemayim. But I did see an opinion that Kares, the person dies, but his possessions aren't lost. Mises Beis Shemayim doesn't only affect the person, it affects even his possessions. A fourth opinion that I saw had a differentiate between Kares and Mises Beis Shemayim is that if somebody, Rechmon Otzlan, gets Mises Beis Shemayim, terrible fate, but at least he has a kapara in this world. Versus by Kares, he has Kares, but he still has to give Din V'Cheshbin in the Olam Ha'emes. So again, begins the Mishnah. We shouldn't have any of these problems. Ve'elish v'misa. The following averis carry with them the punishment of Mises Beis Shemayim. Ha'oichlas ha'tevel. If somebody eats tevel. V'koyin tamei sh'ochel truma. If a koyin tamei ate truma. Tahoira. V'zor sh'ochlas ha'truma. If a zor ate truma. V'zor sh'shimesh. Or a zor did the avoida. Or tamei sh'shimesh. Or somebody tamei did the avoda. Actually, the mefarshim grapple with this. A tamei sheshimesh, a tamei is not allowed to enter the Beis Hamikdash. So what? And if he enters the Beis Hamikdash, he's chayiv Mises Beis Shemayim. So what's pshat that he's chayiv because he did the avoda? He's already chayiv as soon as he enters the Beis Hamikdash. So I saw a number of truths to this question. The simplest teretz, I don't know, simplest is that he only became tamei in the Beis Hamikdash. So he didn't do anything wrong by going into the Beis Hamikdash, because when he went into the Beis Hamikdash, he was still Tahar. But he, as soon as he became Tamei, he should have immediately left. And instead of leaving, he continued doing the Avoda. Another pshat, also fairly simple teretz, is that the person, when he went into the Beis Hamikdash, was a Shagig. He didn't know, he didn't remember he was Tamei. He didn't know a Tamei is not allowed to enter into the Beis Hamikdash. But once he was in the Beis Hamikdash, he became aware that he is indeed Tamei. He became aware that it's Osir. And then he should have left, and instead of leaving, he did the Avaida. Another teretz that the Aruch Lener suggests is that there are different levels of Tumah. And sometimes somebody isn't that Tamei that it would prohibit him from entering the Beis Hamikdash, but it would prohibit him from doing the Avaida. But for Yom Shishimesh, we know that if a person is Tamei and he has to go to the mikvah, the day he goes to the mikvah, he's still a Tfil Yoyim. He only loses all remnants of being a Tamei by Shkia. Till then, he's a Tfil Yoyim and a Tfil Yoyim. And again, all of these halachas we learn from Sukkim and the Gemara Be'ezer Hashem, that did the Avoida. A Mechus Begadim, a kind that did the Avoida without wearing the Big Day Kahuna. A Mechus Kapara, the halach is a Zav, a Yoledes, a Metzaira. Besides waiting the time and going through the process of being tar, they have to bring kabbonis. And until they bring those kabbonis, they may not enter the Beis Hamikdash, they may not do the avoida. V'shloi rochot shidayim regloim, a kohen who did the avoida without washing his hands and feet. Shu yayin, if he drank the prohibited amount of wine. Or prui roish, not taking the haircut. All of these people are chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. Avol, says the Mishnah, oral. Someone who's an oral, this person who didn't have a milah, what exactly the circumstances are, we'll discuss later. An einin is somebody who lost one of his seven close relatives on the day of their death. He's considered an einin, unless he's the kohen gadol, he's not allowed to do the avoida. For yoshev, or somebody does the avoida while he's sitting. All of these individuals Eina b'misa, there isn't a chi misa b'dei shemayim for doing these acts. Elabaz hara, there's a chi of malchus. Continues the Mishnah, balmum, if somebody's a balmum, a kind of balmum is not allowed to do the avoida. What is the halach of a balmum did the avoida? The machloikus. Rabbi Omer, he's subject to misa b'dei shemayim. The chum say he's over as hara, it's a chi of malchus. The Torah speaks about a parasha of Me'ilah. The parasha of Me'ilah that the Torah discusses carries with it a number of conditions. First of all, Me'ilah that the Torah speaks about is only b'shogeg, that the person had hanol, ate something that's kodesh, b'shogeg, he wasn't aware that it was kodesh. Furthermore, Me'ilah only applies to something which is kulei kodesh. The best example is a carbon oila. And the Torah teaches us that if somebody is moil behegdish, he has to pay the value of what he had benefit, plus a chaymish, and he has to bring an asham me'ilos. That, as I said, is only b'shoyik. What happens if he did it b'mezit? He did it deliberately. Here too we have a machloikis tanon. Rabbi Omer b'misa. There's a chiv misa b'dei shemayim. V'cham Omer b'ashara. There's a chiv malchus. This is the Mishnah. And as I said, now the Gemara is going to begin to analyze word by word of this Mishnah. Before we begin, the Mefarshim ask that the Mishnah seems to be giving us an exhaustive list of all cases where there's a punishment on Misa B'dei Shemayim. So sort of Rishonim asked, there are two more situations that we find in Shas that the Gemara says that it's a Chi of Misa B'dei Shemayim. What is the situation of Kohen HaMessiah Beis Agronis, where Kohen actively demands that the Truma Meiser of a crop be given to him, that the Gemara suggests he's Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim? So Mefarshim answer, it's not really Misa B'dei Shemayim. The Gemara is just trying to express that it's a very serious sin, but it doesn't carry with it a Misa B'dei Shemayim. Another question that I sort of showed him ask, there's a very serious Isser of being Ma'ana, of causing pain to a yosin v'almana, to an orphan or to a widow, that the oynish for that is misa b'dei shemayim. Why here does the Mishnah not mention hama'ana yosin v'almana? So I saw a very interesting answer that we spoke a moment ago, a little more than a moment ago, what exactly, as best as we could, is misa b'dei shemayim. But the Rishonim explained that somebody, Rachman Tzlan, is ma'ana a yosin v'almana. The Misa B'dei Shemayim is not just that he gets Misa B'dei Shemayim, but he gets it in a horrible, unnatural death, because it's such a terrible sin to treat these people in such a manner. And therefore, since their Misa B'dei Shemayim is not the same as all the other Misa B'dei Shemayim, they're not included in the Mishnah. And as I said, we now begin learning the Mishnah, or learning the Gemara, explaining the Mishnah. The first case was Ha'ichlas HaTevel. If somebody eats Tevel, we know Tevel is something that the Truma has not been removed from, so the Mishnah says it's a chi misa b'dei shemayim. Ask the Gemara Menon, from where do we know this then? Says the Gemara, "Da meshmu meshmu Reb Elazar, menayin la'oich las atevel shu b'misa." How do we know if somebody eats tevel is chi misa b'dei shemayim? The ksiv v'loichalu es kotshe b'nei Yisrael ashirimu. A rimu means will. It's in the future. Basidem litroim hakos medaber. So here the Torah says that if you eat something from which the truma will only be removed in the future, that means the truma has not yet been removed, you've done something which is called chilul. And then, v'yalef, and then we learn chilul chilul mitruma. We learn that Allah, we make a gzeir shava between this chilul and the chilul of somebody eats truma when he's tamei. Ma'ala halon, as we will learn, that if somebody eats truma when he's tamei, he's chayv misa b'dei shemayim. Afkan here too, if somebody eats tevel, he's chayv misa b'dei shemayim. Ask the Gemara, if we're learning gzeirah shava, v'neil of chilav chilav b'maiser, instead of learning gzeirah shava from truma tamei, that the aloch is that the oynish is misa b'dei shemayim, why don't we learn it from maiser and say, just like by maiser, the punishment is karis, Afkan Bakaris. So there's a very fundamental question that the Rishonim ask on this Gemara. We've quoted the rule that ain adam don gzer shava ma'atzmai. You can't just make up your own gzer shava. Elm ke kibla merabaisav. You have to have a messiah from your rabbis on gzer shava. So ask the Rishonim. They had a Gzeira Shava between Tevel and Truma Tumeya. So what's the Gemara's question? That don't learn this Gzeira Shava. Learn another Gzeira Shava. That wasn't a Gzeira Shava that they had a Messiah on. So Rishonim answer that they had a Gzeira, they had a Kabbalah to put two words together. Chilul Chilul. But it was left over to Chazal to choose which Chilul to put together. And how will Chazal make that decision? They'll look for the better fit. And the Gemara's question is, why are you assuming that it's a better fit to compare Tevel to Truma Tumeya? Maybe it's a better fit or better match to compare Tevel to Noiser. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why I think it's a better match. Mistabra, Metruba Havel Elamelef, it makes more sense to say we should learn it from the Halach of Truma Tumeya, Shekain Truma. Both Tevel and Truma speak about something that applies to Truma. Chutz Laretz. There is no din of Truma b'chutz Laretz. And of course, Truma and Tevel travel together. There is no din of Tevel b'chutz Laretz. Only Paris that grow in Eretz Yisrael are subject to Truma and Tevel. And what about Noiser? So there's two pshatim in the Rishonim that I saw. One pshat in the Rishonim is that at one point in our history, Karbonis, and therefore Noiser, which is a consequence of a carbon, were brought in Chutz Laretz, in the Midbar. They brought Karbonis. The Midbar wasn't at Yisrael. There are other Rishonim who suggest, that at the time that Bamas were mutter, not only were Bamas mutter in Eretz Yisrael, the Bamas were even mutter in Chutz Laretz. So therefore, Noiser is applicable in Chutz Laretz. Truma and Tevel were never applicable in Chutz Laretz. Hutra. Truma, Tevel become mutter. What does it mean becomes mutter? When you take off the Truma, then the Tevel becomes mutter. Berabim. The halach is that they both, the word Chilul, that the Torah uses by the word Truma, by the parish of Truma, and the word Chilul, which is the basis of the Gzeru Shava, that the Torah uses by Tevel, is said by Lashon Rabbim, V'lo Yichalalu. Rashi quotes the exact Pesukim. But the word Chilul, that the Torah uses by, Noiser, is by Lashon Yochid. The Torah uses the words Kodesh Hashem Chilel. So again, what is our dilemma here? Not a dilemma, but what is our issue? We want to know what's a better fit. Is the fit between Truma and Tevel a better fit? Or is the fit between Truma and Noiser a better fit? So if we're going to learn Gzeira Shava, and this is the way all the Rishonim explain, a Gzeira Shava is a legitimate Gzeira Shava, even if the words aren't exactly the same. But if we have an option, where we have a choice that the word should be a perfect fit versus a case where it's not a perfect match, we're going to go for the better match. So if both in this place, by Truma, Tmeya, and by Tevel, the Torah uses the word Chilul, B'Loshin Rabim, whereas by Noiser, the Torah only uses B'Loshin Yochid, that clearly is an indication that the better match is between Truma, Tmeya, and Tevel. Furthermore, Paris, Truma and Tevel are on fruit, on crops. Noiser is on a carbon, an animal, or a bird. Pigel the Noiser. A carbon can become pigel. A carbon can become Noiser. Tevel and Truma can never become pigel or Noiser. So for all of these reasons, suggest the Gemara, the better match is between Truma Tumeya and Tevel. And therefore, but since by Truma Tumeya, the Oynish is Misa B'dei Shemayim, so too will the din be by Tevel versus Noiser, which is the weaker match, and the Oynish is Karis. The Gemara said that what is the let's go a step further first. Ask the Gemara, Ad Rabba, Menoiser Havelel Melef, why can't we suggest that the match to Noiser is a better match? Shekain, and both of these situation, psul oichel, we have a food that we may not eat. Truma, there's nothing wrong with the food. By Truma Tumeya, the problem is that the person is not allowed to eat it because he's tamei. So isn't that a better match? Furthermore, ein loy het be mikvah. Truma, nice, so came psul oichel, and ein loy het be mikvah. Tevel going to the mikveh won't help you. Noiser going to the mikveh won't help you. But if somebody's tamei, going to the mikveh will help him. So perhaps the match with noiser is a better match. Answers the Gemara, simple teretz. We're going to count. Hanach nefishim. If you count, and how many ways, if we compare tevel and the case of somebody tamei eating chuma, how many common denominators they have. And then we count how many common characteristics there are between tevel and noiser. We'll find that there's much more commonality between tevel and somebody tamei eating chuma, and that's why it's the better match. Says the Gemara, Ravina says we don't have to go through this entire exercise. He goes back to one point that we made a moment ago. Chil de rabbim v'chil rabbim adif. As I explained a moment ago, since the Torah uses the words chilul by tevel, b'loshim rabbim, the word Torah uses the word chilul when somebody tamei eating truma b'loshim rabbim, versus by noitzer, as I said, the Torah only uses it b'loshim yachid, that is enough and in itself to say that that match is the better match. And going into looking all to various characteristics is superfluous. So says the Gemara, the obvious point that the Gemara now will work with. We spoke at such great length in this previous piece of Gemara about a Kayin Tamei eating Truma that it's Asr. How, says the Gemara, how do we indeed know? The Kayin Tamei Sh'ochel Truma Tahira Menolon, how do we know that the Halach is that it's Asr? Answers the Gemara, Dama Shmuel, Menayin L'Kayin Tamei Sh'ochel Truma Tahira Shubit Misa B'day Shemayim Tiksiv V'shamru Es Mishmarti V'la Yoysa Alav Chet. And the Gemara says, so from here we see v'lo yisalei chet truma. But says the Gemara, tahira in. This only applies if somebody ate of a kayin tame ate truma tahira. But if he ate truma tamei aloy, davar shmuel amr lezer menayin lekayin tame shachot truma tamei shenem misa shenemar umesuba ki chalalua. The Torah uses the words mesuba ki chalalua. Prat lezu, it comes to exclude a case of truma tamei shemchalalas vaymedes. So what is the Gemara teaching us? The Gemara is teaching us that only if somebody is tamei and he eats truma tahira, is he chayim misa b'day shemayim. But if somebody eats, if a kayin eats truma tamei, the din of misa b'day shemayim doesn't apply. So I want to make two points. The Gemara just says that the pasuk that teaches us that a kayin tamei eating truma is chay misa, because the pasuk uses very obvious words. So sort of Rishonim ask a very fundamental question. It's actually a good introduction to the parak we're going to be beginning learning tomorrow. We have a klal that we learned many times in our masechta. Stam misa is chenek. When the Torah uses the word misa and it doesn't identify what type of misa we're talking about, it means chenek. So the Torah uses the word misa here. So why are we saying that the chay of misa is misa b'day shemayim? The Torah uses the word mesa, which means chenek. So the Mizrahi asked this question, and the Mizrahi answers that even though b'kala Torah kula, as I said, and we'll learn it again, when the Torah uses the word misa, it always means chenek, not by kachin. So it's a big rule in Shas. Kachin comes with its own rules, and this is one of the rules that kachin comes with, that when the Torah uses the word misa, it doesn't mean misa bezdin, it means misa b'day shemayim. Another important question. Here we're saying that it's only if a kayin tamei eats truma tahira is the rechiv misa b'day shemayim. But let's say a kayin tamei, or kayin tar for that matter, eats truma tamei, that then a misa b'day shemayim doesn't apply. Ask the Rishayim an obvious question. You have here a kayin who's tamei. He picks up the truma. So by picking it up, he makes a tamei. So where will we ever have a circumstance that a kayin tamei is eating truma tahira? The moment he picked it up, he made a tamei. So I saw three answers to this question. The first two are what we call balbatish answers, and the third is a little more lomdish. The first question is somebody put it into his mouth. He didn't pick it up with his hands. Somebody pushed it into his mouth, so he didn't pick it up. It didn't become tamei. A second teretz is that it's food that is truma, but wasn't mukhshel kavel tumah. We know that food to be tamei It's not just that it's a food. It had to come into contact with one of the seven mashkin, one of the seven liquids, and then it can become tamei. So here the kain tamei indeed picked up the food, but since the food was never muksha, the kavot tamei doesn't become tamei. A third teretz is, as I said, a little more lumdish, that it's referring to a situation where does the Torah say that if the food is tamei, that the kain eats it, there's no chimis of deishmaim. That's only if the food was tamei before the kohen picked it up. But let's say we have a kohen tamei picking up truma tahira. It goes through the lamdas of Enes Achal Alissa. So if it's truma tamei, so that is the status of this food. But once the kohen is tamei, he is usher in all truma. And there's issa misav de shemayim in that. So now you want to say that issa should go off because he made a tamei? It's Enes Achal Alissa. And the first Isser of Kayin Tamei eating that food remains always in place, and another Isser cannot be Chal on it, and that's why it remains a Misav Dei Shemayim, and it doesn't get this lower status of not being Misav Dei Shemayim. Vizar Shachos a Truma. We learned that Vizar a Truma, Misav Dei Shemayim. Says the Gemara Amar Rav, Vizar Shachos a Truma, Laika. If Vizar eats Truma, there's a Chiv Malkus. Amalei Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi l'Rav le'mamar b'misa. Why are you saying it's only Chiv Malkus? Why don't you say it's a Chiv Misav Dei Shemayim? The Ksiv, the pasuk that describes the Isser of doing this, says the words v'kalzor lo yochel kodesh. So the pasuk puts together the Isser of somebody eating trum when it's tamei, together with the Isser of Zaris, and just like Tumah comes with a Chiv Misav Dei Shemayim, so too should the Chiv Zaris come from it. Says the Gemara, Ania Kachem Hifsik, to separate that they don't have the exact same dinam. So I saw a beautiful word from the Asfin Daraisa. He says as follows: what is the Machlokes? Here the Gemara is quoting a Machlokes. If the Chiv of a Zar eating Tumah is a Chiv Misav Dei Shemayim, or the Chiv eating of a Zar eating Truma is a Chiv Malkus. So Rav Yosef Engel and Asman the Rice says a very beautiful pshat in explaining this Machlokes. He says as follows: everybody is not, we learned in Amar Aleph, no one may eat Truma. Nobody may eat Tevel. And Tevel is a Chiv Misav Dei Shemayim. It was an explicit Gemara in Amar Aleph. Now, says Rav Yosef Engel, this is the Machlokes. What happens when the Truma is removed from the Tevel? So a kohen is certainly allowed to eat the truma, obviously. How do we look at the Yisrael's relationship to this food? Does the old Isser remain? Because he's not a kohen. So since till now, as long as it was Tevel, there was a Chiv Misav Dei Shemayim, that Isser continues. And that's why there's a Chiv Misav Dei Shemayim. Or do we say, Tevel and truma are two different items. Tevel is Tevel. And Tevel clearly has a Misav Dei Shemayim. Truma, even though Zohar can't eat Tevel and he can't eat Truma, but Truma is a different entity. It's not a continuation of the old Isser. It's a new Isser. And that new Isser, according to Rav, only carries with it a Chiv Malkus. Ask the Gemara on Rav, Meisvei, it says in a Braisa, Veilein Shemimisa, and the Mishnah we learned in Amar Aleph, the quoted, says explicitly, Zohar Eichel Betruma. So it says clearly, Zay Echel Truma is a Chiv Misav Dei Shemayim. So how do you, Rav, say it's only Chiv Malkus? Says the Gemara, Masnisa Rav Karamas. You're asking a question from the Mishnah, Rav. Rav Tanu Palak. So the Rishonim say, very important, we don't find, I think it's only three times in Shas, that we find Rav Tanu Palak. So when I was in Yeshiva, what they always taught us when you learned Rav Tanu Palak, that Rav was the first of the Maroim. He lived in that transitional period. And therefore, sometimes he wore a hat of a Tana, and sometimes he wore a hat of an Amira. In these cases, he wore a hat of a Tana. But I saw the morale has a very big problem with this pshat. It is a hard pshat. You are either you're a Tana or you're an Amira. So he says a very beautiful pshat, which is fundamental to how we learn Shas. I mean, whoever opened up a Gemara knows the first rule of ever learning Gemara is that an Amira is not allowed to argue on a Tana. Why? Why is an Amira not allowed to argue on a Tana? Because the Tanoim was so much greater than the Maroim, so Amara has no right to argue in a Tana. Says the Gemara, you're right, but Rav is a different type of an Amara. Rav was so great that even though he's an Amara, Rav is not a Tana. But he's an Amara that had the right to argue in a Tana. Rav, he's a Rav, the Tana Upalid has the right to argue in a Tana, and that's what Pshat here is. We learned further, the Zohar Shishimesh, if a Zohar does the Avodah, he's Chai Misa. Why? It's an open Pasuk. Chimis v'deshmai v'ksiv, v'azor akar v'yumas. Continues the Gemara analyzing the Mishnah. V'tamei shishimish. If a Tamei does avoid his chai mis v'deshmaim, how do we know? Says the Gemara, k'dvayim ne'rav chibar ovim rav yosef. Menayim v'tamei shishimish. How do we know if it's somebody who's, the kohen who's Tamei does the avoid shuv mis v'deshchai mis v'deshmaim? The ksiv. The Pasuk says, Davrav Aaron v'albonav v'yinozru mikotchi b'nei Yisrael v'yichalau eshen kotchi. Says the Gemara, v'yalav chiluch chiluch mitruma. Then we learn Gzeir Shava from Truma. Just like we learned on Amar Aleph, Ma Lahalam, if somebody's Tomei eats Truma, as we learned as a Chi Misa De Shemayim, Afkan, when somebody does the Avoidah, when he's Tomei, there's a Chi Misa De Shemayim, that's the Gzeir Shava. Ask the Rishonim, why are we comparing somebody Tomei eating Truma to somebody Tomei doing the Avoidah? Wouldn't it make more sense to compare somebody Tomei doing the Avodah to a Yisrael that we just learned a moment ago doing the Avodah? Why don't we learn such a Hekesh? So the rule in Kachim, that if we have something that we learn with a Hekesh, Dov Alam B'Hekesh, we can't continue using that as a source for other Halachas. Versus if we learn something with a Gzeres Shava, we can't continue using it as a source. So the Gemara prefers to look for Gzeres Shava versus looking for Hekesh. Ask the Gemara, as we learned on Amud Aleph, instead of learning a Gzeir Shava between a Kohen Tamei eating Truma to a Kohen Tamei doing the Avodah, why not learn the Nail of Chiluf Chiluf Min Noiser? Why not learn a Gzeir Shava from Noiser and say, Ma'ala Halam Kores, Afkan Kores? Just like if somebody eats Noiser, there's a Chiv Kores. So too, the Chiv should be a Chiv Kores, not a Chiv Misa De Shemayim. Answers the Gemara, Mestabrim Truma Havalel Melech. It makes more sense to learn the halacha of doing the avoid the betuma from eating Truma betuma because it has all of these. It has all of these common denominators. Shekin Guf. They both speak about a person being Tomei. Guf Tomei. They both speak about a person being Tomei. They both have the ability of becoming Tor by going to the mikvah. Nicer mikvah wouldn't help you for. Barabbin. And by both of them, the Torah uses the word chil b'losh and rabbim, versus, as we explained in Amar Aleph, the Torah uses the word chil by nois b'losh and yachid. As the Gemara, ad rabba, minois avalei l'melef, doesn't it make more sense to learn from noisa rather than from truma? Shekin kodesh, both of them are referring to kachim, somebody doing avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, noiser is kachim. Pnim, they both refer to doing the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rishonim make an interesting observation. On Amar Aleph, we said that Nois is something that applies with Chutz La'aretz. Now it's saying that it applies with Pnim. So the answer is very simple. The place for Nois is in the Beis HaMikdash. Yes, there are rare occasions that we described in Amar Aleph that it was applicable in Chutz La'aretz, but the typical place is with Pnim. And Pigel and Nois apply both by Kachim, but they don't apply by Truma. So here we have many common denominators with Noiser. So we're back to our original question. Why do we prefer to learn from Truma to Meya, from Kohen Tamei eating Truma? Why don't we learn from Noiser? Answers the Gemara, as the Gemara said in Amud Aleph, Chil de Rabim, Chil de Rabim Adav. Both places the Torah used the word Chil B'Losh Rabim. That is the strongest proof of what is the best match. Tful Yom Shishimish, the Tful Yom did the Avoida, how do we know that he's Chayim Yisrael Dei Shemai? So the Rishonim ask, what do we have to ask? What's the Gemara's question? Until somebody finishes being, even somebody's Tomei, and he goes to the mikvah, until he finishes having the Eitel Harif Shemesh, he's Tomei. And we've been learning, that we just finished learning that Tomei Shishimesh is Chayim Yisrael Dei Shemai, but Tful Yoyim is Tomei. So Rishonim answer that Tful Yoyim is a Tuma Kalusha, it's a weaker Tuma, and perhaps therefore it may not have the same din as a regular Tomei. That's why we have to find an independent source. And therefore ask the Rabbi Nolan, the Tanya of Simaya Oima, Remez Tful Yoyim Sh'ovet Chilel Minayin, that if he did the Avoida as a Tful Yoyim, he's Mechal the Avoida, Tamalayim Kedoy Shiyula L'Kayem V'Loy Chalu. So the Torah speaks about somebody being Tomei. Now, points out the Gemara. We have this. This is one of the Darkei Halimud. If it's not referring to somebody who is Tamei doing the Avodah, the Nafkal Mivinazru, that we already learned from the word Vinazru, to teach us that even a Tful Yoyim is now Dura Avodah. Now, how do we know what Oynish he gets if he does the Avodah as a Tful Yoyim? So the Gemara of Yalv Chilul Mitruma. We learn Exer Shava from the Torah both times uses the word chilul here, and by Tomei who eats, a Kohen Tomei who eats Truma, as we've been learning, Ma'alo Halon, the halach is a Kohen Tomei eats Truma, there's a Chiyuv Misa, Afkan, there will be a Chiyuv Misa. M'chus B'godim, we learned that if a Kohen does the Avoida without wearing the Big Day Kahuna, his Chayim Misa B'day Shemayim, Menolon, Amar Avu Amar B'yoychran, Umata B'mishmei Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, V'chagata Oysam Avneit. When they're wearing the big day kahuna, kunas malayim, they are considered kahanim, and big day malayim, and kunas malayim. The havalei zar. So without wearing the big day kahuna, they fall into the category of a zar. And we've learned in our shiur today, zar shishimesh is chayv misa. So the rishonim, most rishonim, are of the opinion that a kohen not wearing the big day kahuna is chayv misa only for the avoidance that require Big Day Kahuna. But not every avoider requires Big Day Kahuna. What's the best raya? Birkus Kahanim. We still have Birkus Kahanim. The Kahanim that do Birkus Kahanim nowadays, when they duchen, don't wear the Big Day Kahuna. It's only avoiding the Beis HaMikdash that requires Big Day Kahuna. But there's a fascinating opinion that the Mordechai quotes Rabbeinu Tam that says that a Kohen, when he's not wearing the Big Day Kahuna, is not considered a Kohen regarding anything. And in fact, the Chassam Sofer uses that, it's a chiddush, it's a big chiddush of Rebbeinu Tam, and the Chassam Sofer uses that concept in two halach l'maisa shaylas. We know in some shuls, I'm not advocating this, but in some shuls they have the mechilas akayim. They have a lot of people that they want to give aliyahs to, and they have kahanim, so they have the kohen being meichel. The question is the kohen allowed to be meichel? Or could you ask him even to be meichel? So the Chassam Sofer suggests, since we have a Rebbeinu Tam that says a Kohen without the Big Dikunas anyway, not in the category of a Kohen, so no Kohanim obviously nowadays are wearing Big Dikuna, so it's much easier to work with the Mechilas Kohen. He also uses the famous tshuva, that in certain shuls, there was a minig that the first Aliyah of the year, that means when they begin Parshas Bereishis, on Shabbos Parshas Bereishis, the first Aliyah, he's beginning to read the Chamish Chumash Torah again, was auctioned off for a very serious stock of money. And there was a kohen that said, you can't auction it off, I'm a kohen. I get the first aliyah. There's no right to auction it off. So Chassam Sofer wants to suggest that since there was a minig Yisrael anyway to do this, coupled with we have Rabbeinu Tam, that a kohen that's not wearing big tikkun is not really a kohen anyway, he says you could do it. Continues the Gemara. In the cases where a carbon must be brought, how do we know that if he didn't bring the carbon, he does the avodah chayiv misa b'day shemayim? Amak Rafuna, Amak Krav, Chipa Alei Kohen v'Tara. Mechlal, that without the kapara, he's tamei. And we've been learning Amamar tamei shishimesh. If somebody who's tamei does the avodah chayiv misa b'day shemayim, b'shloi rochet shidayim reglayim. If he didn't do kiddush shidayim reglayim, he is chayiv and he does the avodah chayiv misa b'day shemayim. Noam, how do we know? Says the Gemara, because the pasuk says the boy. If not, chas v'shalom v'lo yimusu. V'shu yayin. How do you know somebody's shu yayin is chayiv? The ksiv yayin v'sheikh l'teisht v'vayim al-kodesh v'lo yimusu. If you do drink, you chayiv misa. V'pruy roish. The ksiv roisham, the pasuk says in Yecheskel. Roisham lo yigalechu opera lo yishlechu. The ksiv asrein, the pasuk continues in Yecheskel saying v'yayin lo yishta. Ishkis Pure Rosh or Suyain. The Torah puts these two Averis together. Mash Suyain, and we just learned that if somebody drinks wine and does the Avoid of the Chiv Misa B'day Shemayim, A Pure Rosh, if somebody does the Avoid without taking a Hikar, is a Chiv Misa. And as the Rishonim explain, it's not that this din is learned from Yecheskel. Nevi'im don't have the ability to be Mechadesh to create new dinim. It was Halacha L'Moshe in Sinai that Yecheskel recorded. Furthermore, the Rishonim ask, the Torah already told Bnei Aaron that they're not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash as Purei Rosh. So why does the Torah have to say it here? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that we would think that that was perhaps only that one time event when Nadav and Avihu died. That's when they were told. But how do we know that this is a din forever, Pruei Rosh? Another is that if we only had the parasha in the Torah, we would say that somebody who didn't cut his hair because of Avelis disqualifies the Avodah. How do we know if somebody didn't cut his hair, just didn't bother taking a haircut, that that in itself carries with it a chiyum misav de shemayim? That's what the pasuk in Yecheskel, which actually I just said it's not just the pasuk in Yecheskel, it's actually Halacha L'mashma Sinai comes to teach us that any kohen that did not take the required haircut, a haircut every 30 days, is pasul de avoid, is chayim misav de shemayim if he does the avoid that way.